Greetings, Go Team partners and Web Church members. Robert coming at you again in June of 2021. I don't know about you, but it feels like this year is flying by. Uri and I were talking the other day, and all of a sudden it struck us that, oh my gosh, we're more than halfway through June, and it just seems like the whole year is a bit of a blur. But we know this. Good things are going on now. Good things are ahead. And I know when I pray for all of you, our partners, we are declaring good things over you. For all of you who have asked for updates about Uri, she's doing well. The doctors have been amazed at how well she's done with the treatments. We continue to be in great faith, great hope, and great expectation for a complete and total victory over this attack of cancer. And we're believing not only will we see her completely healthy and whole on the other side of this, but we're coming out of this with an anointing to see cancer defeated wherever we go. So please, as I've said to y'all before, please, if you need prayer, do not hesitate to ask. It's amazing the number of people I connect with that'll say something like, oh, we didn't want to bother you. We know you guys got a lot on your plate. And I always smile at that because I know it's love and care and concern and compassion and understanding coming out of their hearts. But when I smile, I always tell the people, hey, you're never too busy for family, and we're all in this together. So please don't hesitate to email me, robert@menonthefrontlines.com. It's very easy for me to add you or your loved one to my prayers as I declare a complete and utter and total defeat of cancer. It doesn't get to stay. It doesn't get to win. You've probably seen my post on Instagram, the graphic we came up with based on my good friend Ryan Johnson gave us this strategy to rename cancer, Can't-Sir. And with that, I declare almost every day that can't, sir, can't stand, can't stay, can't win. And I'm praying over Uri and everybody else who's reached out to us, the victory over cancer. So anyways, I know that's not our topic this month, but I wanted to let you know. We mean it. We're not just saying words when we say that we're all in this together, when we're family, when we're team. We really mean it. We are incredibly grateful at Patricia King Ministries, Robert Hodgkin Ministries, Men on the Front Lines, Voice for Victims, Shiloh Fellowship, Women in Ministry Network, all the ministries we have under the canopy, under the covering, under the blessing of Patricia King Ministries. You are a big part of that, and we are one team, we are one family. So don't hesitate to reach out to me, or you can email prayer@patriciaking.com. We want to be there for you. All right, I have rattled on more than enough. Without actually touching on this month's topic, which is true religion. And the scripture I want to look at this week as we talk about this is John 8, verses 31 to 32. Let me read this to you. It says, "Then Jesus said to those who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" So this month we're talking about true religion, and I want to talk a little bit about true religion versus false religion. Right here, Jesus in John 8 is mentoring believers. He's mentoring disciples. It says, "Then Jesus said to those who believed him, 'If you abide in my word.'" He's not saying to believers when you abide. He's actually addressing believers saying, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." So to paraphrase and to apply it to our topic this month, Jesus is saying to believers, be careful, because you know the deceiver is a deceiver. Satan is the father of lies, and it's key, if you're a believer, to abide in my word. That will make you my disciples. Remember, disciple doesn't just mean student. Disciple is a word that means one who is disciplined by the Lord, you know, and one who embraces the disciplines of the Lord. Let me put it that way. One who embraces the disciplines of living a kingdom life here in the earth. Now, we don't embrace these disciplines to get something we don't have. That's religious discipline. Religious discipline, well, is if I deny this, or I chastise myself in this way, or I do this thing. Religious discipline is all about embracing disciplines so that you can convince God you've been good enough to be blessed. We don't have to do that as Christians. Christians, it's all about what God has done for us in his love. God has given us everything. I feel like we talk about this scripture every time. It's one of my life scriptures. It's one of the ones I'm always reminding myself and choosing to live from. that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, 2 Peter 1:3, that in Christ, in our knowledge of Christ, we have everything pertaining to life and godliness. God has already given it all to us. Romans 8 tells us that if he's given us the gift of his son, there is no good thing he would hold from us. So when we talk about the disciplines of kingdom living, we talk about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're not talking about disciplines to get something we don't have. We are talking about Jesus teaching us how to live a kingdom life here in the earth, to enjoy everything that we have been given, not to earn something we don't have. And he's saying right here, the key to us believers is to abide in his word. That is what will help us be disciples. Why? Because we see in what is it, Hebrews 4:12, I think. Hebrews 4, it talks about how the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it separates soul from spirit. It separates our soulish desire to embrace a deception of our carnal nature that would try to convince us that something God says is not good for us is good for us, would try to convince us and lie to us that God is withholding things from us when he's not. Like the devil came to Eve and was like, well, but if you eat of that fruit, you'll be just like God. And it was such a lie because Adam and Eve were already made in God's image. But the lie, the subtle lie of the devil is, hey, doesn't it look and feel like God's holding out on you? Like there's something really, really good that he's given to somebody else but not given to you. He's holding out on you. You better make your own way. You better go your own way. You better do your own thing. Jesus is saying here, hey, the key to being my disciple, the key to living inside of all that I'm giving you, all the blessing, all the authority, all the power, all the opportunity to bring kingdom to earth, it begins with abiding in my word. And then he goes on to say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's not only talking about the truth of him as Messiah, which will set us free from sin and death when we accept him as our Savior and our Lord. It also means that in the continuing of the relationship, the key is abiding in the word. He's the word made flesh, right? So when we abide in his word, we abide in his truth, we abide in him. We're not learning disciplines. We're not saying, okay, God, I spent a half hour in the word today, so I've earned a cookie from the kingdom. No, it's the word is the cookie. The word is the blessing. The word is truth. The word is life. The word is the way. The word is what bolsters us and strengthens us and builds us up and reminds us of what we've been given and who we are in Christ. And he says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Absolutely, if you're not a believer and you're reading the Bible and you see, oh my gosh, Jesus is my disciple. My heavenly Father loved me so much, he sent the gift of his son so that I would not perish but have eternal life. I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's glorious. That's wonderful. That can happen. But remember, here in John 8, verses 31 to 32, Jesus is saying this to those who believed him, those who knew he was Messiah, those who were accepting him as Messiah. And he's saying, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, if they already are believers, they're free from sin and death, accepting him as Messiah. But the truth of the word, of his word, will also make us free from compromise, from deception, from the traps of the enemy, from the traps of our carnal nature. And, you know, the reason I wanted to bring this up is I was noticing something going on in society, as it were, definitely North American society, I think to some degree, probably global society. And there's this idea that is developing, and it's even getting in the church, of quote unquote, I'm making air quotes with my fingers, my truth. And you've probably heard people talk about it. Well, this is my truth. I actually had someone come up to me after service one Sunday when I preached and was sharing some things they were going through, and my heart went out to this person, and we were talking about having a kingdom perspective and getting kingdom strategies to see breakthrough and kingdom strategies to see the abundance of life and blessing and freedom come into this situation, to see Jesus come into this situation, right? And But the person said to me, but you don't understand, this is my truth. And I very gently, I know this person pretty well, so I very gently said, hey, I hear you. And I hear that this is your experience. I hear it hurts. I hear that this is how you feel about it. I hear that there's even been a history of this in your family. I hear all of that. I hear that this is your experience. These are your feelings. This is your history. But this is not your truth. The Bible is your truth. The Word of God is your truth. And I get that on days it may not look or feel like it is because of your history, because of your feelings, because of your experience. But to claim that as my truth means you're saying that God's Word is not your truth. So we want to be careful about that. And society is empowering this deception of compromise and selfishness, where society is telling us, hey, your truth is your truth. And I say again, no, that's my experience. That's how I feel about my experience. That's my history. That's how people have treated me. That's how I feel about people have treated me. You know, even like when we got the cancer diagnosis for Uree, hey, that's a fact. We're aware of it. That's what the doctors are saying. That's what the medical reports are saying. That's what the scans are showing. Those are facts, but they're not Uri's truth. They're not our truth. They're not my truth. I do not accept them as our truth. I accept them as facts, and we will use the truth of God's word to overcome those facts. Our truth is she was healed by his stripes at the cross of Calvary. Our truth is the Holy Spirit dwells within her. And just as that very same Spirit lifted Jesus up out of the grave, we are declaring the Holy Spirit is lifting her up and out of not only this attack of cancer, but every symptom. And we command that tumor to dissolve and disappear every single day. Can't, sir. Can't stand, can't stay, can't win. Got to go. So we need to understand that if society is working so hard, if there's the deception in the world of embracing your history or your experience, or let's get real, compromise sin as your truth, well, we've got to be aware that that's a lie. And Jesus is telling us the difference between true religion and false religion, the difference between being a true Christian and a false Christian is to abide in his word. That makes us his disciples, and that's the way we'll know the real truth, the kingdom truth, and the truth shall set us free from compromise, from deception, but also from sickness, from lack, from oppression, because we'll see that our truth is that the Son has set us free and we are free indeed. You know, the other reason I want to bring all this up, and this is really what I'm building to, is I fairly recently, I guess it's several weeks ago now, but fairly recently, within the last couple months, for sure, it's amazing how time has blurred. Even like I talked about when we started this, about how Uri and I were amazed that here we are, and we're almost through June. But within the last couple months, for sure, and I would say probably within the last few weeks, I have to look at my notes when I wrote all this down when it originally happened. But I had an encounter with the Lord, and he spoke to me about how two distinct paths were developing in the church. And it started out by him talking to me about what happens when we allow the word to be made flesh. And he reminded me of how in John 1:14 it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us and saw his glory. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Lord was showing me how, yes, this is obviously talking about Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. But remember, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that every son of man could become a Son of God. And Jesus himself tells us in John 14:12 that the very works that he did, we will do those works as well. And no, we will not be the word made flesh in the sense of being the Son of God made manifest in the earth, but because of the Son of God being made manifest in the earth, because we have each recognized him and accepted him and received him as our Lord, God, Savior, and King, now we are sons of God. And obviously I'm talking to all my wonderful sisters out there as much as my wonderful brothers. We get to be sons of God just like we get to be brides of Christ. And when Jesus models to us what it is, what happens when the word becomes flesh and inhabits this realm, we see his glory. We see the Father put on display. We see mercy. We see forgiveness. We see patience. We see salvation. We see healing. We see miracles. And the Lord was showing me how one of the clear paths that's going to develop in the church is those of his believers, just like in John 8, 31 through 32, where he says to those who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. There is going to be a whole new movement of embracing the word of God, not only as truth, but as such truth that we are willing to align with that truth to where we let the word become flesh through us, that we choose to believe the word, we choose to live from the word, we choose to make our choices from the word, we choose to monitor our thoughts and emotions based on the truth of the word. We let the word separate soul from spirit, and there will be one distinct path in the church of those who allow the word to become flesh, that we abide in his truth, and we will see great moves of God come from this, the Father put on display. But he also warned me that there is another path developing in the church among believers that are letting their flesh become the word, not just their flesh become their words, where, like, you know, and we all can have a carnal moment where we lose it and yell or get frustrated or speak from frustration, not just letting our flesh become our words, but let the flesh become word. And this whole thing we talked about where there are people out there saying, well, this is my truth. This was a believer I was speaking to who was telling me, no, you don't understand, this is my truth. And that they wanted their experience, they wanted their thoughts, they wanted their desires to become their truth, to be their truth, to live from that as opposed to living from the truth of God's word. And when he spoke to me about this other distinct path of those in the church that are going to want to make their flesh become the word, want to live according to their feelings, want to say, well, yeah, I like this part of scripture, but you know, this doesn't really apply. Or, you know, I really have discovered that God loves the homosexual community, and he does. But in that, you know, it just doesn't feel right to me to say that that's a sin if God loves them. Well, it's not you saying it's a sin. It's the word of God saying it's a sin. And that doesn't mean we withdraw love from that community. We actually should double down on love for that community, but not budge from the truth that that is a sin. And we show up not to condemn, not to beat them over the head with the word, but to put the Father on display and put his love and kindness on display so that they are drawn to the spirit of holiness, and the spirit of holiness draws them to the Father through the Son, and we can be a part of that process, but we can't become enablers of sin in any area. That would be allowing our flesh to become the word. Well, it doesn't feel right to me to, because it'll hurt their feelings, and that doesn't feel loving to me. Well, Jesus is love, God is love, and Jesus is the word made flesh, so we've got to not compromise the word and let how we feel about a passage of scripture, how we think, oh, I think this is what it really should be, or how we parse the word where we decide, well, John 3:16 is true, but you know, I don't know about John 14:12. I'm not really comfortable with you saying that we can do all the works that Jesus did, even putting the Father on display, even allowing the word to become flesh through me. Well, we can't parse the scripture. The word of God is not a salad bar. We can't say, I like this stuff, but I don't like that stuff. I like this portion that is, you know, romaine lettuce and Italian dressing, but I don't like over here that's the Brussels sprouts. No, the word of God is the word of God. And true religion versus false religion is exactly what Jesus points out in John 8, 31 through 32, when he said to those who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth if you abide in my word. And the truth shall make you free if you abide in my word. And here's something wonderful that makes clear in other parts of it. Once we embrace this, once we choose the path of allowing the word to become flesh through us, for the word to abide in the word, to even when it stings, even when it hurts, even when it's like, ah, that one's separating from soul from some soul from spirit right now. And we say, but this is what the word says, and I know it is true. So by your grace, God, I will live it. I will let it become flesh in me and through me. Then not only are we set free from the attacks of the enemy, the snares of the enemy, the deceptions of the enemy, the sicknesses and diseases the enemy would put upon us, but we are then even more able to set others free. So there's two distinct paths developing in the church, one true religion, one, honestly, a false religion, where we bend the word to our desires. We let our flesh become the word, as opposed to letting the word become flesh in us, to us, and through us. It's a compromised world right now. Every sphere of influence, you see nothing but compromise, deception, unrighteousness, wickedness. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. That's an exaggeration. Forgive me for that. We see a lot of wickedness, unrighteousness, compromise, deception, and we can't for a moment think that we're not capable of being trapped in it. You know, one of the things I learned from Patricia a long time ago, the nature of deception is you don't know you're deceived. That's why we need to abide in the word. That's why we need to adhere to what Jesus says about those who believe him. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The enemy will come. The enemy can even use scripture out of context like he did with Jesus in the desert. But Jesus quoted back context, quoted back the literal word of God and said, you know, get thee behind me. This is what is written. This is what I will live by. You can't quote something out of context to appeal to my flesh, to my carnal nature, or you can, but I'm not going to give place to it. He won that battle for us in the desert in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, and we can lean into him to see that same victory won in us so that we become ones who choose the path of allowing the Holy inspired, righteous, true, perfect word of God to become flesh in us and through us, as opposed to choosing that compromised path of deception where we try to come up with reasons to rationalize and justify our feelings, our flesh, our carnality, to make that the word. I love you guys. I'm so grateful for you. As I said at the top of this, Uriah is doing well. We are excited to get through this next round of treatments and see her completely healthy and whole. For all of you who reach out to me regularly, we can't thank you enough. We often get choked up and emotional from your kindness, from your thoughtfulness, from your emails, from your messages, and we are so, so grateful for your prayers. We love you, Go Team Partners, and I will be back with you again next month for a couple more of these audios. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.